This morning we have a little thought on our heart, and we desire you to pray that the Lord will bless it. I'm going to call this the success of the Christian race. How to have success of the Christian race. Successes of our walk with the Lord, they're measured all along the way. It's not just a dull life at all. Have you found your walk with the Lord dull? Absolutely. We have many events that come to us in life that it colors it. As the song said, welcome the storm. We have the storms. We have the trials and the tests. Brother Marty was making a statement in a message there at Myrtle, and he was telling how that the Christian world basically urges people to take the way of salvation, get salvation, take Jesus into your heart and life, and all of your problems will be solved. Everything will be smooth. Some will even say, well, you send us the money and God will bless you, and you can't outgive God. And he was telling all of these kind of things, and he was saying how those things are not true. That when we do take up our cross, that is just what it is. It is a cross. And you and I have to fight to enter in. And so it's not going to be just a smooth sailing all the way. And if for us to face reality is what will help you and me to be successful. Then when we face those hard places and we come through them and we go on, see, that's success. I think about the word endurance being the key to success. And I'm going to give you some definitions for endurance. It's not going to necessarily be all of the message, but I want us to have it in our minds. To continue in the same state, that is endurance. You know, for you to get up every day, you men that go to work, you face that every day, day in, day out, it takes something, doesn't it? It takes something for each of us to get up and face our responsibilities of life, I'm talking about, every day. How many of us would like to stay in bed all day one day? Maybe we get up in the morning, we say that. I could stay in bed all day today, but I can't. Well, endurance is like that, getting up and facing the same thing every day, same state. Endurance is also having patience. Now, I'm talking spiritually. In order for you and me to win a crown, we're going to have to endure a lot of same things every day, over and over. To continue in spite of. Continue in spite of whatever it is. And of course, it is to never give up. I am thinking this morning about a cloud of witnesses. And the scripture tells us that when Jesus comes again, he's coming in the clouds. Well, we recognize that that means clouds of saints, of witnesses that have gone before. Those that have endured hardness. Those that have endured this life, pleasing unto God, never quitting, never giving up, and they made it. I'm thinking about those that have gone before, and maybe you might even have someone in your mind. That's good. Do you have someone in your mind this morning that you have great confidence that they made it? Well, I remember one time Sister Souter, when she was sick, and she was sick many years, and this was early on in her sickness. And I was working here at the school, and I would leave here every day and go over and do things for Brother and Sister Souter before I would head home. But I've never forgotten this particular day. She was looked like she wasn't going to make it even then. And this is what she told me. She said, "Maxine, when I get there, I'm going to be beckoning you to come on." Don't you know that there are those of our loved ones that have made it, and even other saints that we have had great confidence in, that they are looking on? And I don't know how much all of this really works. I don't know to what extent they know about our life down here and what we might be going through. But I still think that those that have made it desire us to make it also. And this morning my thoughts are like this. Sometimes in your classwork, those of you that are in school, you might say, "Well, I've got to go to make an interview with someone as a report for school." You may be instructed to go and interview someone that has been successful at their job or their life's career. This morning, I want us to be as though we are having an interview with those that have made it and what they might say to us today. I've heard it said that if those that have gone on came back, they would be shocked at the atmosphere and the society in which you and I live. It is definitely different than it was when I was a girl, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And we see young people then that's here and facing a life. We know not how long we will live. We know not how long time will go on. You've heard me say that I always looked for the Lord to come in my lifetime. All of my life, I've looked for that. And I am getting a little less confident that it might happen in my lifetime. I'm getting older. And so it very well could happen that I will come to my end and not really see the coming of the Lord. I would love to see the coming of the Lord, but that is in God's hands. But those that have gone before, if they should come back, if you should have a personal visit with one of those, we'd like to have a dialogue this morning of what they might would say. Maybe you would even say to them, "Tell me, how did you make it?" See, you're the one that's conducting the interview, so you have the questions and they will have the answers. I would say that some of their first words of encouragement would be like this: "Heaven will surely be worth it all." They would begin to open up to you why it's so important for you to make heaven because it's a wonderful, wonderful place in which you and I do not even have words to express how wonderful it is. The scripture tells us this, see? Amen. It says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard what the Lord hath prepared for those that love him. And then sometimes we might love to hear of somebody that has died and witnessed it and came back and try to tell it. Well, in this interview, this person would be able, this one that has gone before, would be able to tell you how wonderful heaven is. And that it's well worth the trials. It's well worth pushing for, striving for. The scripture tells us that too. To strive to enter in at the straight gate. And for me and for you to strive, we're going to have to put forth lots of effort. Oh, do I do it on my own strength? You know I don't. None of us do. But the part that we play is that we are striving to enter in. So I would think that the first words would be, heaven is worth it. Secondly, I believe this is what they would say. The first advice I would give to you is get acquainted with Jesus. Oh, you're saved? There's a lot of area I need to get acquainted with him. Don't you? Don't I? Don't we all need to know him better? And understand, and I believe that those that have gone before would say this is the first thing you need to do. Just get very intimately acquainted with Jesus. Get acquainted with the power of his blood. Get acquainted with what that blood does for you. The blood is a lot of power. Because it forgives and covers my sins. But it also helps me to forgive others. I distinctly remember one time many years ago, really being in a very difficult place where it was very hard to forgive somebody. And I think we're everyone going to find places like that. And I knew that the word said that if I didn't forgive, I wouldn't be forgiven. And I was seeking the Lord with everything that I knew to help me to forgive. And then one day the Lord spoke to me and said, cover that thing with my blood. This is one way I got acquainted with Jesus. Well, in my mind's eye, I had a little vision of this thing being here before me. And I had a bucket of blood right here. And I took a little artist brush. And I was painting over this. And I said, this just takes too long. So I got me a big house brush. And I took that house brush and I was making more progress. But pretty soon the Lord just spoke to me and said, take the bucket and just splash it on. I want to tell you, I cannot even remember what that thing was now. It was covered with blood. I learned something there. That's what we all need to do, is get acquainted with Jesus and what the power of his blood will do in our lives. Thank the Lord. So I would think that in this interview, that would be one of the top things that they would probably say in helping you and me to have a successful walk with the Lord, that I can endure to the end and I can be saved. I believe that the next thing that they might say is fall in love with Jesus. Because love will cover something. It says that love will cause me and you to be obedient. See? I will obey the word of God if I have a real divine love in my heart for God, for the Son, for the Holy Ghost, for His Word. Did you know that love is not something that's also like a bucket that you just pour it all on and you've got it? Love is something that grows. He wins us by His love. He has proven His love to us. And He causes us then to love Him more. As time goes on, as events happen in my life, as He proves His love to me again and again, it excites my love for Him. Love is a wonderful, wonderful thing. When you say, I love God, it's not just saying empty words. It is saying something. I am learning more and more to love Him. Doesn't the song say that? I am learning more and more to love Him. Love is something that is developed. And as it is developed, my desire to please the Lord also develops. I have a greater desire to seek the will of the Lord. So that would be the next thing that I think that those that have gone before would encourage each of us. And we want to encourage the young people. Don't only get acquainted, but let your heart go out with love. Didn't He say that if we love Him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, that we'll find Him? As you're looking for God in your life to meet the needs in your life, do it with your whole heart. So I think that would be the next thing that they would say. Then it says, recognize, I believe, this is the order the Lord seemed to inspire me. I believe the next thing that they might say is, recognize you are no match for Satan. This would be in my interview, see, those that have gone before, those that have been successful and made it, this would be what they would want to say to you and me. You've got to recognize you are no match for the devil. In your own strength, you cannot do it. He will overcome you. Yes, and so, how do I overcome the devil? I know what the scripture says. And we often quote it just readily. Resist the devil and he will flee. But I want to tell you, in this interview, I believe this saint of God that has made it to heaven would tell you and me, don't forget the first step. You have to submit yourself to God, then resist the devil. So I believe that would be the next part of this little interview. They would be encouraging us to submit ourselves to God, and then we would have the power to resist the devil, to recognize I am no match for Satan. And yet, he gives me power over all of the powers of Satan. Jesus said it. I believe one of the next things that this interview would unfold would be words like this. Never give in to discouragement. We're talking about being successful. We're talking about making it to heaven. And for those that went before, they had to recognize, I can't give in to discouragement. You and I cannot give in to discouragement. Discouragement is going to come. There will be times that you and I will have to fight discouragement. It has a way of being like an oppression over our minds. It has a way of almost being like we're under a spirit of depression. Everything I look at looks sad and looks bad, and I can't seem to see the good in anything. That's what discouragement does.
Yes, right.
Discouragement is a killer. It will destroy my confidence in God. It will destroy my faith. Won't it?
Yes.
Have you ever had to fight discouragement and find that you were getting weaker as you had discouragement around? We find over there that David was in a hard place. And what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. There are ways for you and me to encourage ourselves. One of the greatest ways that I know of is to begin to look at the good things. Begin to talk about to yourself. Recall the times that God has met you. God has answered your prayer. God has blessed you. He's anointed His word to you. Recall the times that He's protected you. All of those blessings that many times we just take for granted. They happen, we're thankful, and we go on. I always like to tell this about Sister Opal. It taught me something, and I'd like to pass it on, and I've said it here in the congregation, and I'm going to say it again. Sister Opal was very unique, and her testimonies were unique. And she would say things like this. When she thanked the Lord, she tried to thank Him 7 times for everything. And you know, I got a hold of that. Why 7? She counted 7 in the Bible as being a perfect number, I think. But do you know there's certain things now? That really spoke to me in my life. And as things happen to me and I see God answering prayer and working, I have found, I have said, thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. And it wasn't vain repetition. It was truly coming from my heart. And I said it over and over and over. And I believe that the Lord is pleased for us to be very grateful.
Amen.
Very thankful.
Yeah.
I believe it touches His heart when we thank Him over and over, even if it's more than 7 times. Maybe you're going down the road and it comes back to you what the Lord has done, and to thank Him again. It's like reaffirming that gratitude. Discouragement can't stay around when we are thankful. When we see the goodness of the Lord, when we see all that He's doing for us, recognize you need God, I need God in every detail of my life. And I've been trying to pass this on to the young people. I want God to prove Himself to the young people as well as the old. Because when we cry out to Him and He answers prayer, it's so wonderful to go back and thank the Lord and to see the hand of God in it. Thank the Lord. So never give in to discouragements. That is what those that have gone before would say to you and me this morning if they were here. Now, what would they say about faith? Would they have anything to say about faith? You know they would. To make it to heaven, you and I will have to have faith of some degree. It doesn't tell us that we have to have great faith. It simply says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll be able to say to this mountain, be thou cast and removed into the sea. I understand what mustard seed represents. But it also gives you and me a little bit of courage that we don't have to have faith as a boulder. It said faith as a grain of mustard seed. That's a beginning point. You and I will have to have faith in God. And it says, the word says, we know this, have faith in God. And so those that have gone before, I believe they would say things like this. Let your faith grow. They wouldn't reprimand you and say, oh ye of little faith. Jesus said that. And maybe he might feel that way about us when we should be farther down the road. But I believe that those that have gone before would be saying encouraging words like this. Let your faith grow. Let the events of life strengthen your faith. Wouldn't that be an encouraging way to say it? And then I think that they would say, don't compare your faith to others' faith. Have your own faith. Let it grow. I believe they would say how important it is to the Father, having seen the Father, having been face to face with Jesus, and they would say, faith is so important. Don't turn loose of your faith. I know someone that lost their companion, still had young children, and it affected their faith. And they said it over and over down through their life. I buried my faith with my companion. Don't bury your faith with any hard place that comes. Don't dig a hole and bury it. Like the man that had the talent. He only had one talent. And he had to be responsible for that one, but he buried it. It did him no good. If you bury your faith, it will do you no good.
That's right.
You will not make it to heaven. You've got to have faith in God. And so those that have gone before, I believe they would strongly emphasize that you and I have our own faith, not compare our faith to others, but let it grow. And let it be strong. Thank the Lord. I believe, though, that after they would speak to us about faith, that they might say something like this. The number one key to success is, what do you think? It's love. Doesn't the scripture say that? Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Don't you think that those that have gone before that are in the very presence of love in heaven recognizes that we need a special kind of love? We spoke of the love earlier about the love for God, but this is another kind of love. This is a love for people, for our fellow man, for our brothers and our sisters, for those that hate us, for those that despitefully use us. The scripture says for us to bless them that curse us. And so this kind of love that I believe that they would definitely encourage us in is to have a love for the souls about us and for all that we come in contact with. And I want to tell you what, and you know this, it takes the love of God to have that kind of love in our hearts for people. But I believe that they would say that. And I believe that they would say it because of the things that happen with people and the wounds and the hurts that we sometimes receive from people, or disappointments, just even disappointments, and still love. So I believe that they would say that. Doesn't the scripture also say, love thy, what? As? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And I believe what they would say is, you need to learn what that means. You get that in your heart. You do unto others just like you want them to do unto you. This is how you're going to make heaven. I believe that those that have gone before would be saying that to us if we were interviewing them. The next thing I think that they might say is, I made it also because of a willingness to forgive those that trespass against me. For a willingness to forgive those that trespass against me. It's very, very important. And I believe that they would encourage all of us today, have a forgiving heart. Let the forgiveness that God has forgiven you teach you how to forgive others. Maybe they would even say to you and me, remember what Jesus said when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's one of the best attitudes that you and I can have in our relationship with people. Did that mean that that took away their responsibility, those that hung him on the cross? It did not. But he had the heart of forgiveness. And when we can say, Father, they don't know what they're doing to me, there's something in that that sort of helps our hurt. If we really recognize, if they really knew how they were hurting me, they wouldn't do it. Do you ever say that? I want to tell you, that's how you can be successful in your Christian walk. Here goes another one. I believe what they would say to us is this: never quit meeting with the saints. Why do I say that? Because the scripture says for you and me not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it said much more so as you see the day approaching. And so I believe that would be one of the things that they would say in this interview. They would say, you keep going, you be there when the doors are open unless you're sick or old and infirmed. And maybe they would be an old person and they would say, I did it until I couldn't do it anymore. And I would believe that they would say, it was well worth it. It helped me to gain something, to gain strength, to go the next week. And it will help you. See? I believe they would say that. I believe that they would also say, when I heard the word preached, whatever word, I believe they would say, I chose. You and I have choices every day. Yes. And I chose life. Because the word said, I set before you this day life and death. And then it says, choose life. And I believe that they would say, that's what I did. All down through my life, I chose life. I didn't choose the way of death. and for you to be successful to the end, you're going to have to choose life. I'm going to have to probably cut this down. It's getting late. That's how it gets. It just gets bigger and bigger. But I've got to give you this one because I think that it's something that would be said of those that's gone before us. I believe that they would say, I watched and prayed. I watched and prayed. Because the scripture says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Watch. It says for us to walk circumspect, to walk where I am totally aware of all that is around me, that it's not having an impact in my heart or my life or my affections or my desires, that it's not coloring the way I'm thinking, that it's not causing me to lower the standard. See? And I believe that those that have gone before would say that. They would say, I took care of my soul every day. I prayed. I studied the Word. And when the world discounted, the Word, does that happen? It does. And when the world discounted the Word, I still believed. I believe they would say that. Those that have made it, I believe they would say that. Lord, help me. I've got to give one more. This one's very important. It's important for us all, but it's especially important for the young people. I believe that if those that have gone before were here and trying to encourage us, they would say this. When I had my failures, I ran quickly to Jesus. Young people, that's how you succeed. The scripture says, a just man falls 7 times, but he will arise. Keep your heart so turned that you want to make heaven. But if you fail, don't stay down. Yes. God is willing and ready to forgive any failure. That's how you make it. That's how those that have gone before us made it. They did not let it keep them down. One more thing that they would say. I never made an excuse for my failure. Think of it. If we excuse our failure, there's not forgiveness. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. And be honest with the people. And the devil cannot work with you. He cannot work with honesty. God can't work with dishonesty. But God will work with an honest heart. So never make an excuse, it was so-and-so's fault because I failed here. No excuses. Come before the Lord and confess your faults. It also says we'll be healed if we confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Thank the Lord. So don't make any excuses. And, okay, the last one I'll give is grace. Those that have gone before has tasted of grace and the power of grace. And it's the keeping part. And they would say to us, don't deny the grace of God. Don't frustrate the grace of God. God has grace for you. They would say that. They would even remind us, even though, let's pretend they came back and they saw and they know what the world is. They know the pressures of our time. They know exactly about the evil time. But what they would say to us is this. They would say, the word of God was true. In my age, in the stage of my life, when sin abounded, God's grace much more abounded. And it will do it for you too. No matter how long this world lasts, that promise is true. And that's what they would say. I have a thought of a song, but I don't know it. But I think most of us know not to sing it, but we're familiar with it. And it says, may those who come behind us find us faithful. That the testimony that you and I leave here to the next generation, that it will be a faithful testimony. And that they will, maybe when you and I are dead and gone, and they're up at our age and they're saying, what would Brother so-and-so tell me if he came back? I want to tell you what he would say. He would say all of these things that we've given you today. This is what those would say that's gone before. Be encouraged. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life.